out of the mouths of babes. How about Charlie Brown? Worrying won't stop the bad stuff from happening, says Charlie. It just stops you from enjoying the good. This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church. I'm going to be connecting the dots today between worry, prayer, and trust. I want you to join me. This is episode number 384 of The Next Thing.
Hi, this is Susie of In His Shoes Ministries welcoming you to a new episode of The Next Step. Since 2008, The Next Step has been coming to you on a weekly basis, bringing you the voice of Armenian Orthodox spirituality, Armadoxy for the New World. We invite you to listen in as Father Voskin connects the dots between the ancient and the contemporary, between the physical, emotional, and spiritual worlds. Whether you're searching for practical and deeper applications of faith in your life, or if you're one of the many disenfranchised members of the church community, you've tuned in to the right station. Father Voskin has a message for you. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Okay, let's start off with a question, okay? Get on your thinking caps. Try to go back in memory, okay? Where did you hear this maybe before? Did you hear it before? Is this new to you? Okay, I'm going to throw you out a statement. I want you to tell me who said it. Okay, if you pray about it, don't worry about it. Nice. If you pray about it, don't worry about it. In fact, this person, I'll give you a hint, okay, he says, he goes even beyond that. He says, if you're going to worry about it, don't pray about it. Okay, let's hear the whole thing. If you pray about it, don't worry about it. And if you're going to worry about it, don't pray about it. Who said that? Who said that? Yeah, I'm hearing you out there. Okay, you're going back to some of the, maybe the philosophers. Jesus? No, Jesus didn't say that. A little bit more contemporary than Jesus. Okay, who said that? Steve Harvey. Yeah. The guy who does Family Feud, the guy who has a talk show, Steve Harvey. I think it's wonderful, isn't it? If you pray about it, don't worry about it. If you're going to worry about it, don't pray about it. You like that? It's so true, isn't it? I mean, if you're going to pray about it, pray about it, and then you've turned it over, right? What about worrying? If you're going to worry about it, and then just mess up your life and go on with that. But does it help to worry about it? That's what we're going to be talking about today. Because last night we had a great, great Bible study. And I don't normally do this. I don't normally bring the Bible study over to the next step. But I thought that there was some issues that went unresolved. And I thought we'd kind of work them out here on the next step. And I bring the Next Step listeners in for the ride. We're going to be talking about trust. We're going to be talking about worry and about prayer. Let's see how they all work together. If you pray about it, don't worry about it. And if you're going to worry about it, then certainly don't pray about it. Let me start off with a psalm, okay? This is Psalm 25. It goes, "In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me." Okay, let's start off from that thing. We're praying to God. This is a psalm. It's saying, I'm putting my trust in you. And so because I trust you, it says, don't put me to shame. Isn't that what we're scared of, right? Being put to shame. And so we're trusting God. Let's talk about some basic issues of trust. Now, I've heard, and I'm sure you have, and maybe you've heard, and you've probably even said it maybe, I don't trust anybody. You've certainly heard people say that. And no matter what you trust, what you don't trust, you can't survive without some basic elements of trust. I mean, everybody trusts in whatever, despite what people say. Without that trust, you can't even function. I mean, you wake up in the morning, you're trusting that you're going to make it through the day, right? You're trusting that you're going to have food to eat. You're trusting that the food that the farmers have grown have not been poisoned. You're trusting that, you know, the flame will come up on your stove and it'll boil your water. That you some basic things. You're turning on the water. You're trusting, right? That things are going to be working normally, right? The water's going to be coming. It's been purified and it's been coming. It's not just sewage water, but it's some pure water. You have a basic trust. You don't even think about it, right? You don't think about it. You don't wake up in the morning and say, I wonder, you know, if that sewage that we flushed down the toilet yesterday, if that has been filtered out and coming back into my house. No, it's a process that's already been done, and you have some basic element of trust that there is a system in play. There's an infrastructure in place, and that's happening, and that's coming along. Think about just getting in your car and driving. You have a basic trust that when you press on the accelerator, you're trusting it's going to go faster. Your car is going to move forward faster. And you definitely have this trust that when you press on that brake, you're going to stop. You have that basic trust, right? Of course you do. Everybody does. You have a basic trust in the signal system, which is not just a machine, but it relies on people who have programmed those signals, right? There's a green, yellow, and red. Now, when you have a red in front of you, the opposite going traffic has a green going for it. Now, you are trusting that these systems work so that when you have a green, you're trusting that the people on going the opposite way, going opposite you, they're going to be stopped. The people crossing, the cross traffic is going to be stopped. Hey, you have a basic trust. You don't think about this. You don't really go through the mechanics of it every time you see a green light. You don't really think, oh, geez, is everybody going to be stopping? Unless that trust has been broken, right? If you've been involved in an accident where somebody has gone through that red, guess what? You have lost that trust in that system. And I guarantee it, the next time you go see a green light, you slow down, right? Your trust has been broken. So you slow down, you look both ways, you know that the cross traffic is supposed to stop, but you don't trust it anymore, right? Or if you've hit on the brake and it doesn't stop, you don't trust it anymore, right? You go get it fixed, but trust me, the next day, the next 2 days, the next week, the next few weeks, you remember that feeling of pressing down on that brake and no stopping. So it takes a while, right? It takes a while to regain that trust. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you don't stop and you don't want to get back in the car. You don't want to get back into life. I mean, it's been so painful, so hurtful. And when we come to issues of God, we ask of God many things, and sometimes we get let down in our head, perhaps in reality, I don't know. It's only the person that is there, the person that steps on the brake, that's the person that that feels this. But no matter what you say, you cannot survive unless you have these basic feelings of trust. You may have lost it, but it has to come back for you to survive. You have a trust in the forecast. People that you don't even know. Somebody comes up on your television set on the computer and says that tomorrow will be a rainy day, and you trust it. And so you plan accordingly. The signals, somebody that you don't know has planned those, has programmed those. How about lawyers? We trust lawyers, right? Trust lawyers that they're going to take us through the program. We don't know the law that well, but we trust their professional. Well, the whole group of professionals, whether it's a lawyer or a mechanic who works on your car, you're trusting that he's going to fix that brake. Or a doctor, you've trusted your life, you've trusted your body with this professional. Remember, there was a, here in America, there was a Texaco. Texaco.
You can trust your car to the man who wears the star, the big, bright Texaco star.
Absolutely. Texaco. You can trust your car to the man who wears the star. The big, big, bright Texaco star. I mean, you know, they're marketing and trust. In fact, I remember TWA Airlines. I think they're now defunct. Trans World Airlines. We never knew what TWA. I think my sister and I used to call it Trustworthy Airlines because it was TWA, and who knew what Trans World was? But we certainly knew what Trustworthy was. You know, it's something that you trust, and definitely you survive, right? You survive because of that trust. You know that if you're going to sit in an airplane, it's going to take you up, and you know it's not going to fall out of the sky. If you did, nobody would fly. But we have a basic trust, and millions of people every day get on board a Trustworthy airline, and they fly. Okay, so basically we're making the argument that without trust, you can't survive. So you do have that trust. Even you send it for other people, right? You send your children to school. You trust that the teacher there is going to be teaching properly and educating your child. And once that trust gets broken, it takes a while, and sometimes it may never to get repaired, but it takes a while to get repaired. And eventually, usually with time, we see that it's a process and it does get repaired. But until that point of repair, if there is one, right, we have a lot of worry because things have messed up. Things, we've lost that trust. So when we lose that trust, what happens? Our sense of worry goes up, right? We worry more, right? Can it happen again? Is it possible? It's normal, right? You pressed on the brake, it didn't go, it's the next time. I tell you, you know, 20 years, this is a 20-year-old story. 20 years ago, I was driving through the streets of San Francisco. I remember it like it was yesterday. A woman parked in a car I was passing by. She opened up the door into oncoming traffic. She opened up her left door, and I went right into it. She just basically opened up the door right in front of my car, and I hit the door. Oh, I still remember it. Smashed up my car. Subsequently, she was found guilty of messing up my car, which was nice, you know, okay. But it didn't help anything that she was guilty of it. I still had that fear. And until today, 20 years later, I am always extra cautious on that right side. I'm extra, extra cautious. And I even get nervous if I have to sit in a passenger seat and not have control over the car. I get nervous on that right side. I'm always looking. Will somebody open up the door? Well, why? I've had this terrible experience. And so now I'm not trusting that somebody will not open up the door. And so, you know, you look out. You look out on that right side. It's happened to you. And this is just normal in anything. Once you lose that trust, any one of the scenarios that I gave you, whether it's the lawyer, whether it's the signal, anything. Once something happens, then all of a sudden you start looking at it and you say, okay. Now, how do you regain that trust? And that's what we're going to be talking about because it's not healthy to live without that trust. How do you regain it? And certainly that worry, how do you put that worry to sleep? Think about the worries that we have in our lives, all of the worries that come into our lives are based on these fears of not trust. Charlie Brown, he's going to have a new movie coming out. I am so excited. I am so excited to see the new Charlie Brown movie. And because it's got a G rating, I don't think there is another movie since Bambi came out that has a G rating. So I am very excited about going to see Charlie Brown. Anyway, I found this cute cartoon. It's Charlie Brown and Linus sitting down and says, worrying won't stop the bad stuff from happening. It just stops you from enjoying the good. Yes, that's why you need to get rid of the worrying. That's why you need to start trusting again, because it doesn't stop the bad stuff from happening, worrying. But what it does is it stops you from enjoying the good things. And basically, life is a good thing. So why not enjoy that life? And so how do you get rid of that worry? Well, what do we worry about? Let's think about. They're not small things. You know, if the biggest worry that you had is that somebody's going to open their door in front of you, you could say that's relatively small because, you know, the door can be fixed. Okay, but put a human life in front of it. Suppose the woman had put her, she had taken a step out at the same time, opened the door, and or her hand was on the door, and her hand got mutilated or something. Okay, that gets bigger. Suppose somebody just jumped out of the car at that point, be even bigger. Okay, and so there are these degrees. And certainly the worries that we have in our lives have major degrees. I mean, whether illness, we worry about our health, right? Think about the stresses that we have in our lives. We don't sleep because of those stresses. We have anxiety in our life. We worry about our children, taking care of children. You notice any gray hairs on your head? It's interesting, yeah. It's directly proportional. If there's a mathematical equation to the number of gray hairs you have, all of you expecting children, get ready for this, okay? Get ready for this. Gray hair, it naturally comes out. It's the worry gene. Yeah. And you never stop worrying for your kids, right? Doesn't matter if they're 2 years old, 2 days old, or 20 days old, or 20 years old. You always worry about them. They're your children. Why? Because you love them, of course. How about retirement? Something out in the future. Something that's going to come. Or sending your kids off to college. You start worrying about these things, okay? Down the road, what happens? Well, all of these things, they push us away from where we should be in life. They push us away. I want you to think about some of the things that really prevent you from being who you are. And it's based on this worry. It's based on this loss of trust. We're going to take a break right now. We'll do the song of the day, come back, and then continue on talking about worry, trust, and of course, the most important thing, prayer. Here is today's song of the day. I hope you enjoy it. Be back in a few minutes.
yar ucu yeresin, bakma kahvere, görün desel habrini darere. Yar ucu yeresin, bakma kahvere, görün desel habrini darere. Yar nay 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 nay, yar nay 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 nay, görün desel.
We're trying to get rid of some worry, just kind of play it easy, take it easy, and laugh a little bit, smile a little bit more than anything else. That is Armenian Public Radio, Im Khorodig Yar. I thought that was just, yeah, that kind of like sets the pace. You know, we're getting really heavy. We're talking about worry. We're talking about trust issues. We need to go to Im Khorodig Yar. Did you like that? I just kind of said, kind of like switched me into another mood. Got a big smile on my face. Anyway, Armenian Public Radio, we will have a link on today's show notes to that song as well as all of their great music. Do check them out. I saw them in concert just last year. Oh, wonderful, wonderful event and show. We saw them with Zulal and both memorable acts. If you ever get a chance to watch these people in action, it's worth as much as their music is worth listening to. There's a visual side, a visual component just to see them up there too. So anyway, hope you enjoyed it.
Song I wrote, you might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy.
Don't worry, be happy. Yeah, that's all there is, right? Just don't worry, be happy. Remember that? Remember when that came out? Oh, yeah, it caught the nation by storm. It's actually a very good motto. I remember right when it came out, I had a gentleman in my parish, 105 years old. He actually lived by that motto. I mean, not that he knew this song or anything like that, but you talk to him and just everything, it was, what's that phenomena they called it? Duck feathers? Or what is that? It ran off him like a duck, like water off the back of a duck, you know? It just came in and it just went off. In fact, my ordaining bishop, Archbishop Vacha, he told me that, you know, and he had been told by, when he started his ministry, an old lady told him this secret, and he shared it with me too. When people talk, let it go in one ear and out the other ear, but on the way out, let it tickle a little bit. In other words, you know, let it affect you, but just tickle, you know? Get on with it and go through life. And what a great way to live, if you can do it. If you can do it. But most of us are caught up because of these worries. And they come from trust issues. They come from basic trust issues that we've had throughout life, loss of trust. And so all of a sudden we start worrying, even just about things that we have no control over. You know, we have no control over some of these things. Some of them, yes, you do. Some of them you don't. But we worry about all of them. And of course, these worries take us in all different directions. They do head trips on us. And we spoke about a few of them earlier. What does Jesus say about worry? And, you know, on the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about some beautiful ideas about sharing, about judging, about praying, learning the value of prayer and how to pray. But he also addresses the idea of worrying because he knows that this is just a natural thing that we go through. You've lost the trust, and so you worry. You start worrying. He says, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Basic question. Isn't your life worth more than the food that you eat, and the body more important than clothes? Now, he's talking First of all, about some very tangible, about some very real needs that we have. We need food and we need shelter. We need the clothing. Okay? These are very real needs that we have, and people worry about it. It's our basic need to survive. And remember, he's talking to a peasant class for whom the people, when he's talking to him in the Sermon on the Mount, he's talking to a group of people that were concerned about their daily bread. Give us today our daily bread is addressed to a group of people that really had that concern. Most people, if you're listening to this podcast, probably aren't in that group, right? Because if you're listening to this podcast, it means that you have certain advantages, you have certain access to technology, you have a means to listen to this. It's being thrown out at you. Most of the people probably are not concerned about daily bread. But he's saying, do not worry about these things. And he goes on to give us an example. He says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And you, are you not much more valuable than they are, than the birds of the air? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Okay, so he's talking about some very basic needs of food, but expand that. What are your needs? What do you want? What are your trust issues? What are the things that you need? Will not your heavenly Father, who takes care of the birds, who have no worries about tomorrow, they just live a day at a time, moment at a time, right? Your heavenly Father takes care of them. How much more are you worth? And of course, he goes on this beautiful statement that he makes. He says, why do you worry about clothes? See the lilies of the field. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Yeah. So he's pointing to nature. Jesus is saying, take a look around you. Look at the animal kingdom around you. A little look at botany, about look at the plants growing. Look at the flowers, how beautiful they are. And these are things that are here today, gone tomorrow. You are worth more than that. Your heavenly Father will take care of you. Now, why do we worry so? Because we're not sure about that. We're not sure. We've been let down. And so we have that worry, that basic worry based on our trust issues, right? So you're following me? We got the trust issues, which lead towards worry. And Jesus is saying, don't worry about these things. He finishes his statement by saying, so do not worry, saying, what shall I eat? What shall I drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. So he takes it beyond those basic needs. Yes, you need the bread. You need the clothing. These are concerns that you have every day. But people have other concerns too. The health issues, raising your children, the retirement issues, the financial issues, your mortgage issues, car payments, blah, 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 blah. You got a bunch of stuff. It's all piling up. You got these worries, okay? Jesus is saying, by worrying about it, nothing's going to be solved. Beyond the worry for the tangible items, listen to what he says. This is so important. He ended, we just heard it. He says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has worries of its own. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Take care of this day. this moment. It's not about the clothes. It's not about the food. It's not about your need. It's about the general state of worrying and trusting in a God that takes care of his own. And you look at history, and yes, you can look at different pieces of the puzzle of life, but you know that there is a history of life moving forward. The only one who's messed it up is not God, but us. And yes, we do worry about us messing up our own lives. But Jesus said there is a power that's higher than that, and it's putting our faith and trust, what does he say? Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. So he's giving something for us to really seek rather than just worry about haphazardly. Okay, so those are Jesus' words about that, but I've got to warn you that it's not easy. You're saying, okay, but I still worry about things. What about my health issues? What about these financial issues? Well, guess what? We're not alone, and we're part of the human condition. I'm going to read to you a passage that comes to us from John chapter 14. In it, this is right after Jesus has celebrated his life of 3 years of ministry. You know, he was baptized around age 30, and according to scripture, his ministry lasted about 3 years, and we do this because of the count. There's three accounts of him going to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover, for various feasts. And so if you put them all together, you figure his ministry lasted about 3 years. So for 3 years, he's been walking around the countryside with his closest entourage, with his disciples, his students, and just before he is going to be crucified. And he has let his disciples know that he cannot be with them any longer. You could imagine how sad they are at this point. And he gathers them for this Last Supper. He says, we're going to have one meal together, and I want to share with you some ideas. And what does he say to them at this supper? This comes to us from John chapter 14. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Right? Jesus, you're leaving us? Do not let your hearts be troubled. Listen to what he says right now. Trust in God, trust also in me. Wow, big one. Don't be troubled, trust in God, trust in me. Now the reason why I said where he said it's important to pick up the context in which it's being said. He's saying this at the Last Supper. These are people around him who have been with him. They've seen the miracles. They've seen him feed 5,000 people with a few loaves of bread and fish. They've seen him make the blind man see and the paraplegic walk. They've seen all this, okay? And so Jesus is now saying this to them. He says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Okay, so he's now saying this to his disciples. Well, wouldn't you expect these people to kind of get it right after 3 years? Seeing him, walking with him, living with him, seeing the miracles and everything. And yet, here we see Thomas, one of the disciples, almost like in a classroom setting, you can imagine him raising his hand and saying, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? Okay, we don't trust this system. We don't trust it. How can we know the way? We've seen you do all this, but I don't trust it. Okay? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Wow, okay. Now Philip, one of the other disciples, puts up his hand and says, Lord, show us the Father. And that will be enough for us. Okay, he's been with them. Okay, but we still have the doubts. We still have the worries. We still have the non-trust, the trust issues. So we still don't believe it. We don't believe that it can happen. And Jesus answers, "Do you not know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say to me, 'Show us the Father'?" You see, the reason why I brought up this one little story over here is for us to understand that it's just normal. It's natural. And in fact, in a few minutes when we look at the psalm that we're going to be looking at, Psalm 25, you can understand that this is just part of the human condition. You have your doubts. You worry. But that worry doesn't get you anywhere. In fact, like Charlie Brown says, all it does is it prevents you from having a good time and enjoying the life. So can you put that worry to one side? Can you, don't worry, be happy? Can you do that? Can you trust again? Can you try, if you trust your car to the man who wears the star, can you trust your life to God? And this is the big issue that comes out, because worry is eliminated through prayer. Why is prayer important? Because it's our way of knowing God. It's our way of communicating with God, with sharing with God, and entering in what Jesus calls the kingdom of God. Set your mind on God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all else will be given to you. Okay, how can I do that? Engage in a dialogue with God. And so we're going to start off with a very simple prayer. And this is really important, because a lot of times when we say, "Let's pray," we always think of formula prayers. We have the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come," and so on. We sit down at a meal and we say, "Let us pray, God is good, God is great, thank you for the food," and so on, blah, blah, blah. And these are formulas that we have. And what happens is, you know, familiarity breeds contempt. What happens is they become so familiar that we forget about what their purpose is, that communication with God. And so what I'm going to share with you is actually today Psalm 25. And I'm going to ask you to just, I'll put a link to it on the show notes just in case you don't have a Bible, but do open it up. Do open up your Bible to Psalm chapter 25 and read it. Read it offline. Take some time to engage in this dialogue with God. The psalmist starts off by saying, "In you, Lord my God, I put my trust." Okay? Here you go. It's a full and complete, total giving up, submission. "In you, I put my trust." Okay? And that's the premise of the psalm. Okay. So everything else is built upon that premise. "I trust in you," it says. "Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me." So the reason I'm trusting you is because I can't take it. It's because I do have self-worth issues. I don't want to be put to shame. Nobody wants to be put to shame. I don't want my enemies to triumph over me. I can't do it. I need help. So Lord, I'm trusting you in this. Goes on. "No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame." Do we need to tell this to God? God already knows that, right? So when we pray, what are we praying? We're really telling ourselves. We're reminding ourselves in this prayer, right? We're telling ourselves, "No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame." If I put my hope in God, I'm not going to be put to shame. But shame will come to those who are treacherous without cause. You don't want to wish bad on anybody, but it's saying that the shame will become on them. It's not that you're wishing it upon them. You're saying that if I trust in you, I know that I will never be put to shame. And the shame will really come upon those people who are treacherous without cause. "Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your path. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." Okay, show me your ways. You're asking, you're saying that I don't know the way. I'm lost. I really need your help. Guide me in, remember what did Jesus say? You're looking for all of these things. Set your mind, your thoughts on God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all else will be given to you. What does the psalmist say over here? Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. I have one point of salvation. Salvation. If I want to save myself, if I want to make it, I have to be able to have that Savior. That Savior is beyond myself. I'm limited. We're all limited by virtue of being human. That's all. Doesn't mean we're bad people. Doesn't mean that we're not strong. And people who will tell you that, you know, I'm limitless and everything, have never created a mountain. They've never even been able to create a small little thumbnail. Fingernail. Think about it. For all the power that's out there, right? Who can create a small little fingernail? Only God. That's how simple it is. Don't make it more complicated than it has to be. Okay, we all have our limitations. You cannot create a fingernail. You cannot create a flower. You cannot create a mountain. You cannot make the waters of the earth be still. You cannot create those waves and those beautiful sunsets that we enjoy every night. So it's this acknowledgement that there's something greater than ourselves. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. In other words, I could look at history and see that all this beauty has been with me all of my life, as well as for my ancestors. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. We're all young. We all are young. It doesn't have to do with age, really, right? The youth is that rebellion that we all have. And we've all made our mistakes along the way, and we attribute it to youth. Not just the biological youth, not just the number of years we've lived. People have lived many years and they still make mistakes, right? So please forgive us the sins of my youth. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. And this is a very simple one. In fact, in the Armenian church, we have a very beautiful prayer that's recited, especially on feast days. It says, don't judge me, Lord, by your standards, but rather, instead of your, look at me in your mercy. I'm sorry, I need the actual text in front of me. Don't remember my sins, but rather in your mercy look upon me. Because God's mercy is infinite, it's great. And so we're appealing to God. You know, if we're going to be measured by God's standards, we're never going to live up to those standards. But we can understand that in his mercy, we always live up to those standards, to the standards of his mercy. And so we appeal to him. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in his way. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the commands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Now, I'm going to ask you to go through this psalm. It's a beautiful, beautiful psalm. And really, try it out. And each verse, each few lines that you read are actually a prayer in themselves. And you could really go into them deep. And I'm challenging you to really go into them deep. But what you start finding is that in this dialogue with God, all of a sudden, you understand that the caring and loving God is giving you something so incredible. He's giving you an opportunity not to worry about the mundane, not to worry about anything, but to have a trust. A trusting relationship. When you have that trust with God, you start seeing that your relationships with one another become trusting and become more manageable. And this is really where it all comes down to, our ability to trust once again. After that break has failed us once, we are hesitant to put our foot on that brake the second time. But you know what? The second time you put it, and it stops. Still, you're still hesitant on the third time, the fourth time. But by the fifth and sixth time, you're getting reconditioned and re-understanding that, yeah, it failed once. It's not going to fail again. Still in the back of your mind, it's there. Just like Thomas and Philip, who stood there at Jesus when he was saying those beautiful words and said, Lord, show us. What do you mean? What are you talking about? We've been with you. We've seen it all. But we still don't get it. Yeah, that's part of the human condition. But trust in God's righteousness, trust in his kingdom, and all else will come to you. Okay, so now we're going to switch gears and put our faith in God, and we're going to start trusting again. We're going to start opening our lives because our prayers are no longer superficial prayers. They're not just mechanical prayers. They're not just prayers that are given to us on a small little card and said, here, go ahead and read. Actually, we're engaging in the conversation. And that's what the psalmist does with us. He allows us to be engaged in that conversation with God at a very personal level. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted, says the psalm. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Look on my affliction and my distress and take away all my sins. See how numerous are my enemies and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May iniquity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. Now think about that for a moment. Listen to the tone of this. Trusting God means complete submission. It also means that we take a sincere opportunity to communicate our innermost desires with God. And knowing that once we turn it over to God, guess what? We don't need to worry anymore. If you're going to pray, don't worry. But if you're going to worry, don't pray. So the choice is whose? It's yours. The choice is ours. Do we want to be in a trusting relationship? Well, believe it or not, you are, with most of the world. You're not in a trusting relationship with a few people, and perhaps not with God. And this is an opportunity, really, to understand that that trust is built in this process through our prayer, through an act of communication. Whatever's happened, here's an opportunity for you to turn it over to God and rely on God, trust in God. Because in his mercy, we find a place for all of us. We find an opportunity for all of us to live the lives that we were meant to live. Listen to Jesus' words. Worry not about tomorrow. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all else will be given to you. Let's take a break right now. I'll be back in a few minutes after Susie makes her announcement.
Susie here again, reminding you that the next step is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We've been broadcasting for 8 years now. We invite you to check out our extensive archive about applied spirituality and Christianity for just about every life situation. You'll find past podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Blueberry, and of course at the In His Shoes website. Each episode is filled with insights about faith and applications of love. We're proud to have these podcasts available to our worldwide audience, with listeners added daily. To become a partner of this ministry, please consider donating by pressing on the donate button on our website. Your monetary contributions goes to maintain and further this dynamic mission, bringing the message of Armadoxy into the lives of a waiting world. Let us know if you'd like to sponsor a series of podcasts by dropping us a note at feedback@epostle.net. That's epostle with an E, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World, .net. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
We're still waiting for the magical mystery. We're still waiting for the magical mystery tour bus. You heard me say it last week. I'm looking for that Airstream trailer that we can have our traveling studio. It's going to come around. But until that time, thank you very much for your donations, for your prayers, for your contributions of words and encouragement. They go a long way. And I piggyback on what Susie just said. It's through those donations, it's through your support that we're able to continue this. Can you believe it? We're in our eighth year right now. And I would never have believed this 8 years ago, but it's really been a trust issue. We talked today about trust, and I want to hear from you. I would love to hear what you thought of today's show. It's a little bit different in that it became really an extension of a Bible study. But this trust issue is not just one of relationships. It's one of trusting that, you know, we've got to do God's work. I just received a flyer. I get all kinds of mail, junk mail, really. I don't know how else to call it, from different churches. And this is one church that is having a traditional Armenian food and pastry. Come support your church, it says. And it says there will be raffle prizes, grand prizes. And if I read to you what those grand prizes are, it would give away who these people are. I don't want to make a mockery of them, but if you read the flyer, it's like, it's incidental that there's a church there. It's just like, support the church by eating this food, by buying the raffle tickets, by coming and seeing this and that. You know what? The best way to support the church is by really believing in it. And now, I'm not against those things. Yeah, I would love to see a nice, you know, to hear some nice Armenian music or watch a dance group and so on and so on. But that should be done because we enjoy it, not because that's how we're supporting the church, not because that's how we're supporting the cause that's in front of us. You believe in the cause, believe in it, support it. But don't add these layers to it, because the cause in itself has to be pure. It has to be worth our supporting because we believe in it. And that's what I'm asking you. When you come to Epostle, when you listen to these shows, if you're getting something out of it, make a donation, say yes to it, and say, yes, this is something that I believe in. And really, one of the best ways that you can do this is share it. Share it with your friends. Share it with people who need this message. And at least I could speak for the Armenian community. I know the Armenian community is dying for this. I went to a clergy meeting this week. I didn't even hit on that in this week's Next Step, because I think the more fundamental issue has to be of reconnecting to our trust issues. Maybe I'll get to it next week, but until that time, I'm going to leave you with this trust, worry, and prayer issue. I hope you enjoyed today's show. Love to hear from you. Drop us a line at feedback@epostle.com. I want to thank you for joining us. Get involved with us on Facebook. We are also on our website, inissues.org. Epostle.net is back up and running, where you can find not only this show, but every show we've done from the beginning of time. For the wonderful crew who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Boskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
I forgot to ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are. Bye.